This reading is from Barbara Kingsolver's The Poisonwood Bible, pages 112 to 115, from the section titled The Things We Learned. But Mother May I broke the ice. When the other children got wise to Ruth May's bossy ways and drifted off, one boy stayed. His name was Pascal or something near it, and he captivated us with frantic sign language. Pascal was my Nkundi, my first real friend in the Congo. He was about two-thirds my size, though much stronger, and fortunately for both of us, he owned a pair of khaki shorts. Two frayed holes in the back gave a generous view of his buttocks, but that was all right. I rarely had to be directly behind him, except when we climbed trees. The effect was still far less embarrassing to me than pure nakedness. I think I would have found it impossible to be friends with a purely naked boy. Beto Inki Tutasala, he would ask by way of greeting. What are we doing? It was a good question. Our companionship consisted mainly of Pascal telling me the names for everything we saw, and some things I hadn't thought to look for. Bangala, for example, the poisonwood tree that was plaguing us half to death. Finally, I learned to see and avoid its smooth, shiny leaves. And he told me about Ngondi, the kinds of weather. Mawalala is rain far off in the distance that doesn't ever come. When it booms, thunders, and beats on the grass, that is Nuni Ndolo, and the gentler kind is Nkazi Ndolo. These he called boy rain and girl rain, pointing right to his private parts and mine without appearing to think a thing in the world was wrong with that. There were other boy and girl words, such as right and left, the man hand and the woman hand. These discussions came several weeks into our friendship, after Pascal had learned I was not actually a boy, but something previously unheard of, a girl in pants. The news surprised him greatly, and I don't like to dwell on how it came about. It had to do with peeing in the bushes. But Pascal quickly forgave me, and it's a good thing, since friends of my own age and gender were not available, the girls of Kalanga all being too busy hauling around firewood, water, or babies. It did cross my mind to wonder why Pascal had a freedom to play and roam that his sisters didn't. While the little boys ran around pretending to shoot each other and fall dead in the road, it appeared that little girls were running the country. But Pascal made a fine companion. As we squatted face to face, I studied his wide-set eyes and tried to teach him English words. Palm tree, house, run, walk, lizard, snake. Pascal could say these words back to me all right, but he evidently didn't care to remember them. He only paid attention if it was something he'd never seen before, such as Rachel's Timex watch with a sweep second hand. He also wanted to know the name of Rachel's hair. Her, her, he repeated over and over, as if this were the name of some food he wanted to make sure he never got hold of by mistake. It only dawned on me later I should have told him blonde. Once we'd made friends, Pascal borrowed a machete and cut sugar cane for me to chew on. With hard, frightening wax, he cut the cane into popsicle lengths before replacing the machete beside his father's hammock. The cane-sucking habit in Kalanga was no doubt connected to the black stumps of teeth most everyone showed off when they smiled at us, and Mother never lost an opportunity to mark upon that connection. But Pascal had a fine set of strong white teeth, so I decided to take my chances. I invited Pascal into our kitchen house when Mother wasn't there. We skulked about in the banana-smelling darkness, examining the walls over the plank counter where Mother tacks up pictures she tears out of magazines. They are company for her, I suppose, these housewives, children, and handsome men from cigarette ads, of which Father would disapprove if the Lord's path ever chanced to lead him through the kitchen, which isn't likely. Mother even has a photo of President Eisenhower in there. In the dimness, the President's pale, bulbous head shines out like a light bulb, our substitute for electricity. But Pascal is always more interested in poking through the flour sacks, and he sometimes takes small handfuls of carnation milk powder. I find that substance revolting, yet he eats it eagerly as if it were candy. In exchange for his first taste of powdered milk, Pascal showed me a tree where we could climb to find a bird's nest. After we handled and examined the pink-skinned baby birds, he popped one of them into his mouth like a jujube. It seemed to please him a lot. He offered a baby bird to me, pantomiming that I should eat it. I understood perfectly well what he meant, but I refused. He did not seem disappointed to have to eat the whole brood himself. On another afternoon, Pascal showed me how to build a 6-inch tall house. Crouched in the shade of our guava, he planted upright twigs in the dirt. Then he built the twigs into walls with a sturdy basket weave of shredded bark all the way around. He spat in the dirt to make red mud, then patted this onto the walls until they were covered. Finally, he used his teeth to square off the ends of the palm frods in a businesslike manner for the roof. Finally, he squatted back on his heels and looked over his work with an earnest, furrowed forehead. The small house of Pascal's, I realized, was identical in material and design to the house in which he lived. It only differed in size. It struck me what a wide world of difference there was between our sorts of games, Mother May I and Hide and Seek, and his, find food, recognize poisonwood, and build a house. And here he was, a boy no older than 8 or 9. He had a younger sister who carried the family's baby everywhere she went and hacked weeds with her mother in the manioc field. I could see that the whole idea and business of childhood was nothing guaranteed. It seemed to me, in fact, like something more or less invented by white people and stuck onto the front end of grown-up life like a frill on a dress. For the first time ever, I felt a stirring of anger against my father for making me a white preacher's child from Georgia. This wasn't my fault. I bit my lip and labored on my own small house under the guava tree, but beside the perfect talents of Pascal, my own hands lumbered like pale flippers on a walrus out of its element. My embarrassment ran scarlet and deep, hidden under my clothes.